Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Malik Hall, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Yeah, I worked out right before the combine with him, and it was all love, honestly. It was a great time. I had a really good time, actually, there, and I really wanted to be there. It's crazy. Like, I called my agent, AC, immediately right after and was like, nah, that's where I need to be. So it's great. Like, they drafted me, and, man, I'm so happy, man.
That's Daylon Terry, the new Bull, and he was very excited, and he was shot out of a cannon. And, you know, it's funny, David, because, listen, going 18th in the NBA draft should be exciting for anyone. But it's hardly a guarantee of stardom. It's hardly a get. This is not a lottery selection. It's hardly a guarantee of riches. But when your lifelong dream is fulfilled, you're happy. Now, I've seen guys drafted that late that aren't happy.
Right.
They think because they were going earlier.
10th or 8th or top 10 or a lottery pick. But this clearly was somebody that Daylon Terry understood that he probably was going to go where he went, maybe hopeful a little bit higher, but this was somebody, that's the attitude you want to take into your new job, your new profession. This is somebody that left school at 19 after 2 seasons at Arizona, did not average in double figures. He's not here for his offense. You can see him projecting immediately defensively into the Bulls rotation if they need him to. But he's got some work to do. He's got some room to grow. And this draft, more than ever, the NBA draft has become about potential.
Yes.
And development.
Yep.
And guys who are, you know, projects in sight unseen, and you have time to build. And the Bulls, in taking Daylon Terry, 18th, embrace the continuity that we thought that they might. And this is something that if you trust AK and the direction this organization has gone since he arrived, you like the pick, even though it was somewhat underwhelming to many people.
Yeah, I you know, again, I think you said it. I think if you feel that you can trust the organization, and I do feel that way, then I think that you feel that, okay, they've got a guy. They know what they're looking for, and they understand exactly what they want out of a draft. And so given where they were picking, I think you feel pretty good about what went on and what was said and all the rest of it. So, you know, I mean, listen, Daylon Terry, he was not in the green room, right? He wasn't waiting for to find out where he was going to be picked. He was back home, and he was hanging out with friends and family, and that's just the way it is sometimes for some of the picks that aren't in New York.
The
right?
Bulls have earned the benefit of the doubt. This regime has, which is hard to say because we have had so many years of cynicism building up to the regime change a couple years ago, but I think this group has. So when they make a pick like this, you do trust them and you trust the process, I think. So that prevents you from being too cynical and from feeling, you know, the sense of meh that you might have felt otherwise, because if they say he's a good basketball player and they can project him into the rotation, you're like, okay, we trust you to see why you believe that. So let's wait and see. I want to close the loop a little bit on this Kings thing I said, just because it involves Jaden Ivey and going to the Pistons quickly, Mully. The Kings, as Brandon Fryer pointed out, are always one pick away. And this is why it's interesting to me. In 2011, they picked Jimmer Fredette 10th. You know who went 11th? Klay Thompson. In 2012, they picked Thomas Robinson 5th. You know who went 6th? Dame Lillard. In 2018, they picked Marvin Bagley the 3rd, 2nd overall. And you know who went right after him at 3rd? Luka. So when they pick Keegan Murray ahead of Jaden Ivey, if you're a Sactown fan, you're having a familiar sense of dread.
Yeah.
And you feel like, oh my gosh, here we go again. And good for the Pistons and good for Jaden Ivey that he's not exiled to Sacramento.
312-644-6767. Let's try Dave. Dave is near Wisconsin. Hey, Dave.
Good morning, gentlemen. First time caller, long time listener. So thank you for having me on. I just want to quickly jump in about this Jaden Ivey deal. He has expressed multiple times how he would not play for the Kings. Now, I don't blame him. It's the Kings. Look at that. But I feel bad for Sacramento because what are you supposed to do? Do you take that guy with all that talent but has no interest in your team or your culture? Or, you know, do you try to, you know, divert that and hopefully get something of production? So I just wanted to jump in on that real fast. And happy to have Dale and Terry in this city.
Yeah, that's nice. That's very
nice.
Thanks,
Dave.
Yeah. And Justin Lewis, they also, the Bulls didn't have a second round pick, as David mentioned earlier, because it was taken from them over the Lonzo Ball tampering charge. But they did get a pretty good player as on a two-way contract, right? So that would be Justin Lewis. We'll see him in Las Vegas for the Summer League.
Summer League next month.
Yeah.
Couple weeks away.
Good
Justin
player.
Lewis, as you pointed out too, might have had better numbers last year in college than the player that the Bulls drafted at 18.
Yep.
You see how he fits into the equation. A couple other Summer League signings, as you pointed out. Not Summer League signings, but undrafted free agent signings. Lucas Williamson with the Clippers, Charlie Moore with the Pistons, Kofi Coburn with the Jazz to back up or replace Rudy Gobert, depending on what happens with the Jazz and the future for their big guy. Do you think they're going to trade Rudy Gobert now? They didn't make a move last night. The blockbuster really didn't happen across the league.
I honestly, and Scottie Pippen Jr. is with the Lakers. Don't forget that.
Nice.
Because he's got the name, let's be honest. What happened to Ron Harper Jr.? Did he go
anywhere? Not see where he went either.
He signed with Toronto.
Toronto Raptors.
Okay, that's a good fit for him probably. A lot of these guys who didn't get drafted might be better off picking spots where they might fit in well. You wonder how E.J. Liddell feels about dropping to 41st.
Yeah.
Going down to New Orleans with the Pelicans. That's probably
gotta
good.
He's got to be gutted.
He's got to be gutted, but Mully, you look at that situation. Now he's got an opportunity. He's going to play alongside Zion. He's going to get an opportunity to show what he has. The difference, obviously, is the guarantee of the contract.
Exactly.
First round versus second round. So that's the bad part of it. The good part of it, if you will, is it might be certainly an opportunity to prove yourself, and you go in with a chip on your shoulder wanting to prove that everyone else was wrong about you.
So he's a second round pick. He went for 41st, you say?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you look at these draft, you know, whether it's The Athletic or ESPN, they all had Justin Lewis, who signed as an undrafted free agent, about 42-43.
Mm-hmm.
That's where he slotted in, and instead he's undrafted, and Liddell, who a lot of people thought would end up at 18, falls to 41. That's insane to
me. It is a bit. It just shows you just the disparity in evaluation and what people, you know, the different criteria people might use. And also, I think on a broader level, it shows you that somebody should do the metrics on this. The collective experience of players that are drafted, I think it goes down every year because you'd have players who don't have any college basketball experience. You have players coming from G League experience, and the amount of time that you can actually see them on the court against quality competition has diminished. So how do you really know? There's going to be a wider variety and range of opinions on these guys, which probably explains some of these projections being off.
I mean, here's the thing. You know, if you want to be the man, you got to dress like the man. Is that fair to say? So when Paolo Banchero walks in that suit,
oh, come on.
He's got rhinestones all over his body. He's like, I was almost going to say he was bedecked, but he is bejeweled. He was bejeweled.
He is bedazzled.
And he was bedazzling.
The thing is, I had him number one overall.
I did too.
But then when I saw what he was wearing, I think I dropped him to four.
See, I went the other way. I thought, oh, he just sealed it. But and it's fun to think about. But you know, you imagine being in Arizona on a conference call after being drafted and on a Zoom call, and Dalen Terry comes out. He had a beautiful suit on. Did you see it?
Yeah.
It looked like it was almost like a like an alligator skin suit or some kind of thing. I mean, it was sharp, and he looked great, and he had like a nice necklace. Just on the Zoom call, he looked good.
Well, you only get one chance to make a first impression.
Yeah.
And Dalen Terry made a strong one.
Yeah.
And I think that's important. We'll talk to Casey Johnson here in a couple minutes about what stood out. But I think when he presents himself that way, and when he projects the enthusiasm and the energy and the willingness to play a role that he understands is going to be rooted in defense, providing some energy, and bringing that attitude each and every day, that's important for a team that is full of veterans who need to take another step.
So I think as the glue guy, I don't expect him to overwhelm the Vegas Summer League, right? I mean, he's going to play his role, do his thing. He's not going to worry about leading the group in scoring or, you know, making sure he's taking three-pointers so
one would hope
can look at him.
Because you don't want him to get in a situation where he's trying to force anything. You want things to happen and evolve naturally. And, you know, the shooting part of it will come over time. You think that may be an opportunity for him to work on that if he gets a jumper or to try to work on that part of his game. But I do think you want to see first before he gets to that point, you know, show us your strengths.
Yeah.
Do what you do well. Build some confidence and then let
defend,
the other part evolve.
Play in the open court, distribute, all the things that got him drafted.
He complimented his own passing last night, and I think that's something, you know, that was nice because he was asked about not scoring and not shooting, but he was basically saying, I do what I need to do under the circumstances, and in that context, on that Arizona team, he didn't have to score. He wasn't asked to do that because he was – a defender and a distributor, and he was a good passer, as he said. So I like that. I like that. By the way, the Wizards at number 10.
Yes.
When they drafted Johnny Davis out of Wisconsin, good pick.
Yes.
Did you think for a hot second there that Johnny Davis on his way up to the stage was going to turn around and go to Taco Bell?
How about that guy? He's already got an ad going into the NBA draft. That's pretty awesome.
He could have done that and had like a lifetime endorsement deal with Taco Bell forever had he pulled that one off.
Oh, boy.
That's a good pick, though.
Yeah, that would have been very funny.
It's another good pick.
I would have enjoyed that. No question about it. Okay, let's try Shoelaces. He's on the south side. Hey, Shoelaces.
Hey, long time. I haven't talked to y'all in a long time.
What's going on?
That's your fault, not ours. Yeah. We talk to you every day.
Good morning.
Good morning. Like to hear from you again. Yes, it is my fault. I want to ask your opinion. How do you feel about the draft? Because I got to the phone late. Like, how you feel about it? I wish the Bulls would have drafted more of somebody more physical.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, you know, the thing is, they got a really good perimeter defender. They got a guy who's 6'7" and is you know, he's kind of a tall. I said this to you. He's kind of a taller version of Lucas Williamson. He's like a really tall, really good defensive player. Now Lucas probably shoots better than he does, but this guy runs the floor great, and he distributes the ball, just ask him. I think what's disturbing, and we've talked about it this morning, Shoelaces, is the idea that they didn't get the three-pointer, three-point shooter. They didn't get the rim protector.
Check.
Those were the two things we were looking for going in. Instead, they got the glue guy because maybe the guy that stirs the drink for them, Lonzo Ball, is still in L.A. working on the knee.
That's the question it raises. And Shoelaces, you're exactly right. Physicality in the way of a rim protector is what you wanted to get out of this draft.
Oh.
That's one of the things. And the other priority was shooting. But in In drafting Daylon Terry, this is going way back, shoelaces. If you're a longtime Bulls fan, you'll get this reference. I texted Mully last night after the pick, and I said, did they just draft the Thabo Sefolosha?
Yeah, that was that's perfect.
Because
that really,
really you go back, you think it was 2006. Yeah. He was a 13th overall pick, first rounder. You're like, who is this guy? What does he bring? And it's like, all right, well, he's a smooth defender. He's a physical player. He has some offensive issues he needs to work on. And not that's a perfect comp, but that's where my mind went. The Bulls just drafted a guy that they're going to not ask a lot offensively of early, let him evolve into that kind of player. But until he does that, there's a lot to like.
And Sefolosha, known fan of tacos.
No, yes.
Just known for it. I think he was, wasn't he at a taco truck one night in New York where he ran afoul of some trouble?
I think that was it.
No, that was a nightclub. No. Never mind. But I do. I like that idea that that you got a guy with a in Johnny Davis that could have sealed the lifetime endorsement for Taco Bell. And they brought those taco pizzas back, I believe.
Did they?
Yeah. They had that was apparently they had ended that, and then there was a real uprising.
People if I were hungry, that would sound good. Yeah. I'm not hungry.
It was January 26th, I think. January 6th, excuse me, where they all went crazy and marched on the Taco Bell and demanded that the pizza be brought back. Something like that. Something happened somewhere. I got my head stuck basically in the sports section or the,
of
or
course
the fast
you do.
Food yeah. section. I don't know.
By the way, where was your head at when the Hornets drafted 7-footer Mark Williams out of Duke at 15?
I was bummed. See, you know I like that guy.
I thought of you when that happened because
I was bummed.
I started to wonder how far down will he drop.
Yeah.
And had he been there at 18, you do wonder.
That would have helped.
That's one thing we'll never know.
Right.
It's like, what did the Bulls board look like?
And exactly.
Who was taken just before they were getting ready? I thought Mark Williams would have made a lot of sense because of what Shoelaces alluded to. Everybody thought they needed to get either.
Yes.
Yeah.
Rim protection or three-point shooting.
One or the other.
And they didn't get either. And that's why when we look at this right now, we're kind of, And you know, again, we have a texter saying Patrick Williams would be the comp for this guy because he only averaged 8 points a game in college as a role player.
Patrick Williams is a more interior player.
And Patrick Williams is a number four overall pick.
Yeah.
Okay? That's a very high
big
pick.
Big difference. Offensively, he can't be as limited as he has shown.
Right.
You're going to need more out of Patrick Williams if they hold on to him. We presume they will. Was there any player, before we break here, Mully, that when they took – Daylon Terry and you saw still on the board, you thought, oh my gosh, I wish they didn't pass up on him at 18. Because I'll tell you what, while you're thinking of, I thought immediately at 18, if they were there, I wanted A.J. Liddell, but there was word that he was starting to drop for whatever reason.
Right.
I, for a hot second, wondered about Blake Wesley, who ended up.
Oh, you know I was all over that.
You were, yeah. And I thought he's still there. And he's.
Yeah, I thought for a second it might happen. But you know what? They listed the names, and I believe they listed six names. Liddell was the first one, and the sixth name was the man they took here. They did not have Blake Wesley even mentioned, so it makes me think that the Bulls weren't even kind of viewing him in that
right.
fashion.
Perhaps. He landed in San Antonio, a very good spot for Blake Wesley. Great coach, good market for him, not going to be a ton of pressure necessarily. I like his fit down there as well because that's an organization, winning culture, and I think he'll fit right in.
You know, I mean, you think about it, you had a lot of guys go in there, Jalen Williams, Jalen Duran. I mean, that's another guy. I like him, and I thought he'd be like a real helpful piece for them, and lo and behold, he's another guy. Ends up in Detroit. Help. All right, KC's going to break it down. We'll ask him these things, and we'll find out who he believes should get the next Taco Bell commercial. We'll talk to Casey Johnson next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Mornings with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
And now,
KC Johnson.
Kobe White, pull up three over Karis LeVert and nails it.
Bulls insider for NBC Sports Chicago.
Give me the hot sauce!
Covering everything from the dynasty.
17 seconds from game seven or from championship number six. Jordan, open. Chicago with the lead.
To Derek. DeMar.
In play to DeRozan, spins, far quarter for the win. Got it again! DeMar DeRozan, back-to-back game winners!
KC Johnson.
I've covered the NBA for a long time.
With Mully and Haw.
Moss.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We always learn something from our friend KC Johnson. He joins us now. Doing a great job for NBC Sports Chicago. And, of course, he joins us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Hey, KC, how are you?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Pretty good.
I loved hearing you on the Zoom and you telling Mark Eversley that you don't have the same deadlines now that that you're not doing the newspaper stuff. You could bother him all night. I love that. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was fun. Good chance to talk to Mark. Gave us about 15 minutes, and there's a lot to talk about. I mean, this team always has plenty of storylines, and added another one in Galen Terry last night, for sure.
Do you interpret that pick, KC, as the Bulls embracing the continuity that AK said that they appreciated and valued on this Bulls team?
That's certainly one way to look at it, because he doesn't really look like, or doesn't really scream out, I should say, ready to play guy in his first year. I mean, he doesn't, that's why I asked Mark directly, I mean, do you envision him cracking the rotation next year? And he said, obviously, that's up to how he plays and up to Billy Donovan, which I expected him to say, but still had to ask the question. You know, he's young, he's raw, and, got a lot of potential and upside, but yes, he doesn't, you know, really look like a plug and play guy for sure. So in that sense, it's just them adding more talent to a core that they've now twice publicly talked about wanting to see what it can do when it's full and it's whole and it's healthy. That's certainly one way to look at it. Dalen to me seems like a more of a down the road player than a first year player, but people said that about Adesumu as well. So we'll see how it plays out.
So you wrote about Lonzo Ball. It was interesting to see that kind of jumped out at you, and you were asking questions about it. Obviously, we came in this morning and we're arguing about what it means, everything that was said, and all the questions you asked, and where Lonzo Ball is, and the idea that he's making progress, but there was no guarantee that he's going to be able to play. And when you look it up, the guy has played 252 out of a possible 410 games, which is about, I believe, exactly 61% of the games he could have played. That means he's missed almost 40% of the games. I said to David during one of the breaks, maybe they ought to save him, let him rehab and bring him back for the last 35 instead of starting that way. And I'm half kidding, but do we know anything about Lonzo Ball? I mean, the idea you got to send your training staff out there once a week is a little strange to me.
Well, I think that's more it's funny because you say a lot jumped out to me, but that did not raise a flag for me, because that to me is more of a collaborative thing, and that's kind of how this franchise operates. I mean, it's the same thing when Zach LaVine went to go meet that specialist in February. He did so while under the auspices of the Bulls, health performance staff contingent joining him. So it's more of all these players now have their own guys and have their people that they trust. And it's also a way to have some franchise input in that process. So Lonzo is out in LA, saw that specialist that he wanted to see. And, the fact that the Bulls are in that process and monitoring, I think is probably more a positive than a negative. But to your point, Molly, I agree that it's kind of hard to read how far he's progressed if he's still going through the rehab process. And, Mark Eversley was asked directly if the season was going on right now, would he be able to play? And he said he'd have to talk to the performance staff about that. I mean, if that's a yes,
that's
he's,
a no.
He's saying yes.
That's
yeah.
a no.
If that's a yes, he's saying that directly and quickly. So, it's certainly something to monitor. Everything I've been told is that they expect him to be ready by training camp, and Mark suggested as much. He said he certainly hopes so. But yeah, it's a weird story, and the larger point is what you say. The guy has had a hard time staying healthy through the early stages of his career.
So that begs the question they can't answer, Casey, and probably wouldn't answer last night or today. But in your mind, in your opinion, if they weren't concerned about Lonzo Ball's knee, would they have drafted Dalen Terry? Is he cover and protection for Lonzo Ball's uncertainty?
Yeah, Will Perdue and I talked about that a little bit last night on our late-night podcast that we taped. I also push back on that one. Here's why. I really think when you're picking 18, particularly when you pick a guy like Dalen Terry, who a pick that surprised me a little bit, you're literally just saying, okay, here's our board. Here's who's available. He's the top of our board. He's our guy. I mean, because he doesn't fill a lot of your needs. So they clearly are not drafting for need here. They're just picking who they think is the best player available, because he doesn't address your perimeter shooting issues, at least on paper. He doesn't really address your rim protection and your size issues and your depth issues up in the front court, at least on paper. He's a reflection of just trusting your scouting, and he's your best player on your board, and then you worry about how it all shakes down later. I don't equate the Dalen Terry selection to the Lonzo Ball situation at all. I get it. It's like another guard or, wing. He's more of a wing, even though he's listed as a guard. I get it. It's a position that they have a lot of, and Lonzo's situation is what it is. But I just read it as he's their best player available, and that's why they picked him.
I don't argue that. I do wonder, though, we're, 6 days away from free agency. Are they going to address this whole business with rim protection, with three-point shooting? Aren't these issues that must be addressed at some point in some fashion?
100%. And Mark was asked directly about the rim protection, which, you know, along with shooting, to me, are the two biggest needs. And he talked, you know, he actually had a pretty intriguing answer there. Rob Schaefer, my colleague, pointed this out. He said, we're looking for somebody to compliment Nikola Vucevic. And that's, again, another public vote of confidence for Vuce from this front office. Arturis Karnišovas said as much in his late April media availability, talking about, you know, how much of a connecting piece he is and how much they value him and how much they valued his availability last season. So, but yes, to your point, they still have these issues and they've got to go address it either via free agency or trade now. They will have, you know, their exceptions to work with. The number one order of business, obviously, is extending Zach LaVine a max offer. And Mark Eversley certainly expressed, I don't know if confidence is the right word, but excitement about that opportunity to re-sign Zach LaVine. And, you know, feels good about where the Bulls stand in that process. So I expect that to get done. And then you move on to those needs that still stand out about this roster and about this team.
All right, Casey, we are in the overstatement business, but how much was any interest potentially in Rudy Gobert or the possibility of that trade overstated in the last couple of days?
I mean, that's the word I used directly in my reporting in a column earlier this week. When the rumors first bubbled up, I checked in on them, and you know, I wrote at that point that, you know, the Bulls value Nikola Vucevic, but I kind of left it a little bit vague and just kind of said that's where it is right now. I mean, I personally, when they first bubbled up, expected Vuce to be here. And then when they kept persisting, you know, I was like, I eventually just kind of got annoyed and just was like, all right, I got to check in on this again. And I was just told that there's not much to it. So, you know, look, this, you go by what you're told and who you trust, and I'm sure they had conversations about the guy. I mean, he's available. He's a three-time defensive player of the year, but from everything that I was told, you know, that was not a situation that was anything that got close or down the road. So, you know, he said it twice in February and April. He believes in this core. He wants to see it together. Now I'm talking about Arturis Karnišovas. Yep. And I believe him. I mean, this team, you know, it does have flaws, but I'm not like, this is not my opinion. I'm just kind of telling you what I think the internal belief is. They led the East for most of January and as late as February 25th. This is just my speculation here. Does this front office think this is a title team as constructed? Probably not, but they think it's a really damn good team when fully whole, and they want to see what it can do while it's together and has another season playing together under its belt.
KC, David made me confess earlier something that I was trying to hold to myself, but I have Pistons envy. There's no question about it. They really killed the draft. Did that jump out to you? And could they become like a Celtics-type team with Cade Cunningham and now Jaden Ivey, and they got a big guy? I mean, it just seems like that was a hell of a draft.
Yeah, that's certainly a vibe coming out from a lot of people off last night. You know, you got Adrian Wojnarowski shouting out Troy Weaver on the ESPN broadcast last night. I mean, you know, there's quite a bit to like about what they did, but they obviously are still young and haven't proven anything, but on paper, they've improved their franchise, and that's all you can ask for from a rebuilding team. I like the Ivy fit alongside Cunningham because as good as Cunningham is with the ball, he could play off the ball as well.
Right.
So that's going to be a fun team to watch. You know, this league's not about divisions anymore, but it is a division rival with some history there. So, you can't really help but be impressed by what they did last night.
KC, in 60 seconds, what is the number one priority then heading into free agency? And do you have a name that might emerge as a target?
Well, I think you still need to watch what happens with Mitchell Robinson. I think he's personally going to be too expensive, and I think the Knicks may be trying to retain him. But that's certainly a name that I would keep in mind. I mean, we've named them. Rim protection and shooting are the two biggest ones. You know, this front office has proven when they have a target, they have a backup plan. So if they go to their number one target, and I'm not saying Mitchell Robinson is that target because I have not gotten deep into reporting on free agency yet, but I will between now and June 30th. You know, it's Zach, and then it's moving on to the next target, and then if that does not work, you've got a backup plan. But rim protection shooting stand out as the biggest holes to me.
It's a pity you need two players for that. But one guy couldn't do both. I can't think
ideally,
of anybody. Yeah,
that's an odd combination.
That is.
That would be.
Hey, Casey, thank you. Great stuff. Always appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys. All right, man. Take care. See ya.
That's Casey Johnson, NBC Sports Chicago, Fine Bulls Insider.
So June 30th is next Thursday.
Yeah.
By the way.
Oh, yeah.
So this next week, there's going to be a lot more Bulls speculation. We're going to probably in the interim meet the latest addition to the mix. And I think that he'll make another strong first impression in person, Dalen Terry, when we meet him, whenever that may be. A lot going on and a lot to talk about.
312-644-6767. That's the telephone number. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Mully and Haw.
Man, you guys are awesome. I've been listening to you guys for years.
On 670 The Score.
So obviously Zach, you know, two-time All-Star. He's an Olympian. You know, he's been a terrific Chicago Bull thus far. You know, it's our hope that, you know, we sit down with Zach and sit down with Rich Paul and talk about what the future looks like here with the Chicago Bulls. It's our every intention to bring him back. We're excited about the opportunity to sit down and talk to him. We feel like he'll be excited to sit down and talk with us, and we're looking forward to that day.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score. I don't feel like he left much wiggle room in terms of getting Zach to come back. I think he told us what we already kind of knew, that they planned on bringing back Zach LaVine, right?
It continued a consistent theme by the Bulls.
Yep.
From Michael Reinsdorf last winter to AK to now Mark Eversley. This is a team committed to keeping Zach LaVine in a Bulls uniform, regardless of the cost. If Zach LaVine is not a Bull, it is because Zach LaVine has chosen not to return. It's going to be his decision, and the onus is going to be on him because the Bulls want him back, and it makes sense to want him back. You can debate, and we have, and it will go on. Is he a max player? What does that mean in the context of the NBA and around the league, and where does he rank? Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What matters is what do they think of that player, and what do they think Zach LaVine is worth to them? They're willing to pay him max money. They're going to pay him max money. You know why? They need to. If you want to embrace continuity, you got to put your money where your mouth is. That's what they're going to do.
I gotta give Peoria Matt a nod here. He texted in, "We love the core, straight from the Garpax playbook." Now, I can understand why you say that, because during some of those years, the Bulls had a group of players that you never got a chance to see play together. And it was very frustrating, and you wondered if you'd ever get a chance to see all the guys that they'd put together play. And that's kind of what they mean by we love the core.
Yep.
This is a little different. This is a different type of deal here. One of the more curious elements is DeMar DeRozan and how gracefully he ages. And I don't mean that as an insult. DeMar DeRozan had a phenomenal year. He is getting up there in terms of NBA age. I don't know if it still matters anymore because LeBron is playing and still playing at a high level because Chris Paul ran afoul of some issues. I guess that team ran afoul of some COVID issues, but that team was really good this year, and he was a really big part of it. So I don't know if you worry about how gracefully a guy ages. And it seems like DeMar will go into Milwaukee and shoot jumpers and get into the building and do whatever it takes. But I'm just saying, you got to deal with that element, both Vooch and DeMar DeRozan.
And there are two more years on DeMar DeRozan's contract.
Yep.
And what the Bulls did last night was, and what they have been consistent about saying, it suggests that they're very confident that he's going to maintain this level of play throughout the duration of the contract.
Right.
So you know, the funny text from Peoria, Matt, is good, and it reflects this the cynicism, I think, around the Bulls sometimes, which is almost inherent and instinctive, and it's earned because of what happened up until the regime change a couple of years ago. So that healthy cynicism is something you want to balance kind of with what we heard from KC and sort of the rational thought,
yep,
right?
Yep.
So we come in here, guns blazing, and we're reacting to the draft, and I think that it's fair to wonder if Dalen Terry being drafted where he was is a response to or reaction to the uncertainty surrounding Lonzo Ball's knee. I think that's still healthy cynicism you don't want to let go of yet because, let's face it, until Lonzo Ball returns, I'm going to wonder if they are more worried than they're letting on about his availability. So I think that's fine. But I also think that what KC said is worth remembering. They want to – they value Vooch. They want to build around this core. They want to add to it and embrace the continuity. And they believe in Patrick Williams staying rather than being trade bait for Rudy Gobert. That was probably overstated, as Casey said. So they want to be consistent with that belief and move in the right direction. So the cynicism is understood, but I think you have to take this Bulls regime. You give them a benefit of the doubt that you're not used to giving the Bulls.
And I don't think Dalen Terry is equal to or is substitute for Lonzo Ball. But I think that the most important parts of his game, you know, when you talk about a glue guy, the most important parts of his game is doing all the little things. When we would watch the Bulls with Lonzo Ball, we recognized, boy, Lonzo Ball does a lot of things that don't really show up in a box score. He does a lot of different things that set up plays, that controls tempo. He really has them playing very well. And he might not be the dominant scorer. He might not be the guy that put up all the numbers, whatever it was. If you watched it, you saw his contribution on a night-to-night basis when he was available. And you missed it when he was not. So you can have a substitute for a guy by having a similar style of player, if you will, a guy that fills in a lot of blanks and does a lot of little things that helps a team succeed. And yet you wonder, well, hell, that guy didn't score any points in college. That guy wasn't really putting up big numbers. But if you watch that team play, he was a big part of what they were doing.
Yeah, and I think that's why it's a natural conclusion to jump to when you add him to the mix that includes Lonzo Ball in theory, but you don't have him back yet. So what Terry does is he comes into a backcourt which has other defensive-minded athletes, Io, Alex Caruso. Those are guys you now have a very good backcourt defensively. You know, are they challenged to score? Perhaps, especially if you take Ball out of the equation. But that'll take care. That'll evolve, and we'll see what happens there. What I think also it does is that it makes you it makes the needs in free agency more pronounced or more obvious. Casey mentioned Mitchell Robinson, the 7-footer from the Knicks.
Yeah,
Knicks are not going to let him go easily. There are other teams that have been mentioned about right. Mitchell Robinson, the shot blocker, defensive presence that would complement Nikola right. Vucevic, as right. Mark Eversley said. I'm waiting for a name to emerge about the shooter. Who's going to be the guy that is the three-point shooter that spaces the floor in free agency? Maybe it's a mid-level exception. Maybe it's what – you know how these things work. How are you going to fit him into your payroll? Because you need to find somebody that does that better than anybody the Bulls have right now.
Did you see that Steph Curry went to like some kind of like – some? I don't know if it was a carnival or it was some sort of a place with the kids where he's there and they have like a shooting competition. Oh, you know how they have those?
With the rims that aren't as round as
and they
typical.
They just showed him shooting like he was in a three-point contest, going from rack to rack and knocking down like every shot.
See, that's not fair.
Can we have a guy like that, please?
You need somebody like that. Well, are you going to start scouting carnivals?
I'll tell you what. Wouldn't that be something? Yeah. Can you imagine being a poor carnival barker and you're there just trying to rip off people?
And here Steph Curry comes.
And then this guy comes.
Oh, you again.
And you lose the giant panda.
Yeah,
Damn it.
Jeez. And then Steph Curry's got to walk around the rest of the carnival carrying this giant panda around.
Oh, that's awesome.
They need somebody like that, yes.
Yeah, that would be – he'd be a perfect guy. 312-644-6767. That's the telephone number. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We've got the Coombe Dog next on Chicago Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.